This morning we turn again to the Gospel of John. Read this morning from chapter 13, the first 20 verses. Hear God's Word. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, and laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, that you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Beloved, it's a wonderful privilege to gather this morning. It's a wonderful privilege to be able to intentionally focus once more on seeing Jesus. As we considered last week, it is our desire and our prayer that we would see Jesus, and we would see Jesus as he comes to Gentiles for their salvation as well. And we do need to see him. Because so often we latch on to one idea and we can forget to continue looking to Jesus, and we fail to see the whole Christ. And part of it's because we don't understand the full reasons Jesus came. And I think so often the other part of it is we want to see the Jesus that benefits us most, and we don't want to see the full Jesus. This morning, as we turn to John 13, the theme of this series of messages comes very picturesquely. See Jesus. See Him. Watch Him. Hear Him. Not just for a moment as we consider this passage, but as you go through today, as you go through this week, see Him. Watch Him. Hear Him. Because He comes to teach us and encourage us. As we turn to John 13, we need to realize this was Thursday evening, the night Jesus was betrayed. Jesus knew His hour had come. He knew He was about to be betrayed. He was about to suffer. And the weight of what was coming was already pressing down on Him. He knew the Father's will, and He knew that He was going back to the Father. But Jesus first gathers the disciples and leads them through this first ever Lord's Supper. It was the Last Supper with all of the disciples. And we know some of the history. They gathered in the upper room. But as we come to this chapter and this passage and the way John, the Lord, wants us to understand it, to realize this. The disciples are gathered together, just them, in this upper room, and the food's prepared, the table's set. And you might think everything's ready. But there's something that's not done yet. Because as they would recline all around their table, they'd recline on their elbows. But laying down that way, that would mean their head would be close to the feet of another person beside them. And in this upper room, there had been no servant who appeared to wash their feet. Can you imagine reclining beside somebody about to eat and your head's going to be close to their feet? Undoubtedly, the disciples realized this and they looked at each other, and we can imagine John looking at Thomas and Peter looking at Philip. You going to do it? Andrew seeing John and Peter looking at somebody else. Who's going to be the servant here? And we read Jesus rose from supper. And Jesus laid aside His garments. And Jesus took a towel and tied the towel around His waist. See Jesus. The Jesus who humbles Himself. Yes, we know He humbled Himself in order to come to earth. But He humbles Himself even further. He comes to serve. He takes off His outer robes. He takes on the towel. This isn't the actions of a normal leader. After all, clothes say something about a person. We don't often think about that, and yet I think maybe we do think about it as we pick clothes and decide what to wear. But if you've ever been to the doctor, to the hospital, and you had to put on one of those flimsy gowns, you know exactly what I mean. Because removing the clothes that make you you and putting on this basic, ugly, flimsy gown that everyone gets is humbling. It's almost humiliating. It makes you vulnerable. And in the time of Jesus taking off those outer garments and as it were, just having the basics on underneath, you've brought yourself down to the level of a low servant. It's not like you're just in a hospital like everybody else. You've brought yourself down to the lowest of society. And see, Jesus then, as He comes and He humbles Himself to that level. And then He gets water. Not from a tap like we would have, but likely room temperature water that's in a larger container, and he pours some into a low, wide bowl. And he comes to these disciples and he gets down on his knees in front of them and he starts washing their feet. One dusty foot, washed, dried, with a towel that's around his waist. And he moves to the other dusty foot and it's washed and dried. And he moves a few feet over to the next disciple and he washes their feet, dries them. Moves to the next one. Hard, calloused feet. Extra sand between the toes. Washed. Dried. And the disciples watch, perplexed. This was something that was reserved for a servant who was the lowest of the servant ladder. And here's Jesus, washing and drying. This was usually done when someone walked into the door of a host's home. But now they're gathered, as it were, around the table. And of the 13 or of the 12 disciples, no one else wanted to be that servant. But it's Jesus who gets the water and starts going around. And you imagine the disciples there realizing this. And the shame in the room grows. Not because of Jesus' clothes, but because the disciples are still sitting there in their good clothes. And they realize that the expectation was if there was no servant there to wash their feet, it should have been the youngest of them. But here's Jesus. Peter's watching this as Jesus goes through the disciples. And we don't know how many disciples before Jesus comes to Peter. But eventually Jesus comes to Peter. And Peter says to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And that leads us really to the interaction that becomes our focus this morning. Our text is John 13, 6 through 12. And we'll consider it under the theme of washed. And it's really this interaction between Jesus and Peter that happens because Peter's watching all of this. And the first thing we realize as we look at this text is Peter objects to being washed. Lord, are you washing my feet? Peter objects because he thinks it's unsuitable. Lord, you wash me? You're the Lord, the Master, the Teacher. You're doing slave work. You're washing my feet, my dirty feet, my smelly feet. I feel vulnerable when you come and do that. My feet aren't my best part. I always hope people won't notice my feet. And I certainly hope that the Lord, whom I respect, won't notice the crookedness of my toes and the cracks in my heels and the dirt that's there. See, Peter objects because he thinks it's unsuitable. He objects also because he's still ignorant. And Jesus lovingly points that out in verse 7. It says, what I'm doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this. After this night. After this weekend. This is only part of Christ's humble and willing sacrifice that Peter is going to see. But you will understand later as you look back and after the Spirit's poured out on you. It's a good reminder to us. It's not the point necessarily, but it's a good reminder to us that we don't always understand what the Lord's doing, what He's saying in our lives. What we see of Him and learn of Him may even perplex us. But believe that in the end you will understand. And the call now is to trust Him and let the Lord do His work.
But Peter doesn't understand, and Peter, in a sense, isn't trusting that, and he's still objecting. And his stubborn nature's coming out. Lord, you shall never, ever wash my feet. He doesn't even take Jesus' words to heart. And the emphasis is this. Never, not to the end, will you me wash. In a sense, Peter's objecting. Peter's also dismissing. And really, Peter didn't know what he was saying, because if he objects or doubts his need for this service of the Lord, we would say partial humiliation for his personal physical comfort. Peter will also have to reject the deed of absolute humiliation that Jesus undergoes for his complete spiritual and physical salvation. And you see, Peter loves the Lord. He wants to see the Lord as long as he can stay comfortable. And as soon as Jesus makes him uncomfortable, he tries to put barrier there. When we think Jesus is just limited to our own ideas, we sometimes end up denying part of what he came to do. And we might think we're respecting Christ, but as soon as we say, I can do without being this vulnerable in the hands of Jesus, as soon as we say, Lord, you don't have to do that for me, Calvin says the very desire of showing respect for Jesus loses all its gracefulness. The true wisdom of faith is therefore to embrace with reverence everything that Jesus does and says for us. You see, we need to see the humility of Jesus here. And not object, but be in awe. And to learn, because our human ideals is that Jesus would be this great leader, this guest of honor. He's going to claim supremacy. Right? He served them for 3 years, but this is his night. This is his night to be served. But the Holy One comes down and he engages with sinners who have dirtied themselves. Even in the past week or day, and he serves them, and he teaches them. He teaches them the necessity of being washed. We see this in Jesus' answer. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. The meaning is simple yet deep, because Jesus is really saying it's not just about foot washing here. You need to recognize what I've come to do. Unless you recognize and believe Christ's humiliation, including this act of service. Unless you believe this, you do not share in redemption. If I do not wash you, you have no part. You see, because Jesus' humiliation is not just an act of washing feet. It's Jesus coming, serving, fulfilling the will of his Father. Yes, he was born, he would suffer, he's going to die and be buried. But his humiliation earns the inheritance of glory, not for himself, but for others. And Jesus is really saying that if you're not washed, you're not in me. And if you're not in me, there's no inheritance, there's no glory. Now, getting your feet washed doesn't give you automatic grace. Just like taking the sacrament isn't about receiving automatic grace. And yet we need to have a part with Jesus. And Peter gets in a sense of it, and he wants the glory of the kingdom, and he responds literally again, and he says, Lord, then not my feet, but my hands and my head. From one extreme to the next, from nothing to everything. And do you see, we fall into the same traps, going to extremes. We live and act and speak as if we don't need the continued work of Jesus. And then we're convicted of sin and realize our need. And then we live and act and speak as if Jesus has never done anything for us yet. But that misses the point. You see, that misses the point Jesus is making here. He continues to teach them. If I do not wash you, you have no part of me. But also, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. It doesn't mean believers are pure and without any stain, but Jesus is saying to Peter, he who is bathed, that's he who has been cleansed. We would say in our theology today, cleansed by the blood, he who has been justified has no need of washing anything except his feet. If you believe on the cleansing power of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, you need one thing. Sanctification. The work of God whereby we're constantly renewed and growing in humility and grace. But you see what Jesus does then. He humbles himself. He comes and he saves. He saves from all sin, we would say. He saves to justification and then sanctification. He who bathes needs only to wash his feet. And then Jesus goes about and washes feet. And he delivers from all sin. Sin no longer has dominion over them. And he delivers from the guilt of sin, and he delivers from remaining sin. And the goal is not just to correct Peter and expand Peter's understanding, but also to encourage him. Because notice, Jesus states the glory that comes with being washed. He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. There's a warning here that not everyone gathered is clean. Not everyone even in front of Jesus. Not even everyone whose feet Jesus had just washed is clean. Because Judas sat there. He was a recipient of the humble love of the Savior. And yet he's about to go out and deny him. Betray him, rather. And yet, Jesus says, you are clean, but not all of you. But it's an interaction with Peter here. Peter who doesn't understand. And yet Jesus says, Peter, you are clean. Your stain of guilt is removed. I've only come now to wash your feet. I see you, Peter. I know your feet. I know you feel vulnerable. Your crooked toes, the stains between them. The broken nails, the scars, the cracks. I know all the dirt that's yours. And not just the sand on your feet, but I know the dirt of your hands and the dirt of your head. I know your thoughts and your desires. I know your fears and your doubts. I know what you dream about. I know what terrifies you. And I know what your hands have done. I know the hard work. I know their skills. I know how willing they are to bear a sword. I know all the things about you, even the things that you are embarrassed about, even the things you try to hide, even the things you don't want people to see, even the things, if it's someone you don't care about, yeah, maybe they can see you. But everyone you love and respect, you try and look good around. I know all those things about you.
I know everything that you've thought. Everything that you've thought about God. I know everything you've thought about my ministry. And you are clean, Peter. And unless you mistake or minimize the glorious truth, recognize that Jesus declares Peter clean. The disciple who just misunderstood, the disciple who just didn't get it, the disciple whose pride wouldn't allow him to be vulnerable in front of the Savior. To him, Jesus says, you are clean. Not just you could be clean, Peter, but you are. This is why I've come. And this is why you need to receive with gratitude my humble service to you. I will wash your feet, and I will wash all of you. Lay aside your garments that are stained with sin and be washed. And we know it's possible because the Savior's humble here. But he's also the humble Savior who's going to the garden, who's going to be betrayed, who's put through the mockery of a trial, who will be crucified, crowned with thorns, where he pays the price for all sin, suffers the punishment of sin that Peter and I deserve. And the guilt of sin and the guilt of rebellion is, as it were, nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. You are clean, Peter. Have you seen this Jesus? As we approach the sacrament, that's the question of faith. Have you seen that Jesus? Amen. At this time, we're going to read the rest of the form for the Lord's Supper.